After learning about organizational change and effectiveness of the organization, let's understand about the importance of HR policies, practices, and work design. Now, the various policies, which are the guidelines for the employees to perform or to act, and the various standard operating procedures and practices of HR are very important to be followed by the employees so that the organizational strategic goals can be achieved and organization becomes effective. Similarly, the work design should be such whereby the employees will be motivated and the quality of the work will improve and continual improvement will occur. At the same time, people's motivation will help the organization to achieve all its strategic objectives. Plus, there will be quality of work-life balance, which is very important for the employees, so that they will remain engaged. Talent acquisition and management will be better, and people will develop involvement and citizenship of the organization, whereby the turnover will reduce, absenteeism will reduce, and the productivity and the quality of work will improve. So let's learn this in detail. So what are the learning objectives? One is to understand the various HR processes which are important for the organization in the form of selection practices, learning and development initiatives by the HR, performance management system, career management system, and practices for quality of work life. So let's go one by one. Well, the first and foremost is selection, which is a very important process for the organizational strategic objectives to be achieved. After doing the manpower planning based on the market analysis, the environment in which the organization is, based on the SWOT analysis, and knowing the culture of the organization, one has to select the right candidate for the right job at the right place in such a way that they are also going to be in line with or in coherence with the organization culture, and so they are going to be having more or less the same values that the organization is having, in which case the employees will enjoy working in such an environment. So the selection process starts from the analysis of the external environment in the form of the opportunities and threats outside in the form of, say, labor market, the financial condition of the market overall, as a, say, suppose there is a global recession, it's going to affect the labor market, and internal environment in the form of strengths and weaknesses, in the form of, say, what are the competencies of the people, of the employees of the organization. How many people are now having high talents to take care of the future promotions in the way future positions they can take care of by the right kind of competencies they have developed by the help of the HR department's initiative of the right kind of training and development program for the employees. Once you have decided about the SWOT analysis in the form of opportunities and threats of the external environment, strengths and the weaknesses of the internal environment, you are going to have the right kind of manpower planning, which will tell us that how many people are required to be appointed externally and how many people are required to be appointed internally. Of course, that is going to depend even on the HR policies, and hence once they have decided, the department head is going to give in writing to the HR people regarding what are the positions to be filled, so that the HR people are going to send the invitation to the external applicants to apply for this job, that is recruitment. And once lot of recruits have applied based on the right kind of competencies they are having, based on the organizational image that is there in the market, the primarily the scanning of these applicants will be done by HR department by preliminary interview. Then there will be selection test in the form of written test, personality test, skill based tests, and the cultural coherence or dexterity of certain cases, or emotional intelligence, etc., based on the type of jobs that they are going to be selected. Once that is done, so these are the things in pre-selection, then which will be required as the job analysis, recruitment and application blank, which has to be filled up by the candidate, and written exam will be given, and then selection test, and then employee interview, where the technical aspect is looked after by the HOD of the department, and the cultural aspect and the fitment of the salary, etc., will be looked after by the HR department. So employment interview is taken, then the reference and background analysis is done by the HR department, and based on this, finally one candidate out of the pool of those candidates is selected, or maybe more number of candidates based on the number of vacancies present, and then they are sent for physical examination. The medical examination will tell us whether the person is fit for the job or not. These examination will be in general for all the five senses. Say eye test will be done for the distant vision, near vision and color vision. There are certain jobs where acuity of vision is extremely important. Say depth of vision is important for crane operators. Color vision will be important for doctors, nurses, safety professionals, lab analysts, the dyers in case of textile industry, then the drivers, etc. In fact, 8% of male and 0.04% of females, or rather 0.4% of females are colorblind, and hence if a person is colorblind and if there is a criticality of color discrimination by these employees, then they may be either made unfit, especially for drivers and all, or they can be given the color contact lens and see whether they are able to read the Ishihara charts for color vision. Similarly, if a person is one-eyed, naturally he cannot be selected for engineering kind of industry or construction industry and all, where there are acuity of vision with both the eyes, bilateral vision is very, very essential. Secondly, when a person is having any kind of lung problem, say asthma, and suppose he is going to be taken for a chemical industry like toluene diazoxide, which is a known asthmatogenic agent, or if a person is having allergy to certain chemicals, and if he is going to be selected for chemical industry where these chemicals are present in their work atmosphere, it will be difficult for him to work, and hence these cases can be made unfit for that particular job, where job person fit is to be taken into consideration while doing the physical examination. And once he clears that, which will also help in the future suits by the employee saying that These are the occupational hazards we have got, and because of that we are suffering from this, which they have already suffered in the past occupations. So one can find out from the baseline investigations. So this is the way in which physical examination is going to help us in selection process. Once he clears all that, naturally a job offer will be given and employment contract will be given to him, whereby he is going to sign the employment contract saying that he is going to resume after 15 days or 1 month or 3 months based on the previous employee's contract he has made. And we can even evaluate this selection process in future in the form of feedback from the candidate, feedback from the interviewers, as well as his performance appraisal at the end of his probation period and at the end of 1 year. So there are various processes to say whether the recruitment and selection was proper, whether we can even find out what are the false positive, false negative kind of selection and recruitment processes also. So what are the importance of application forms? One should develop application form differently for different kinds of jobs based on the job requirement. And you can use these application forms, go through it properly to find out what are the areas in which the person is expert, the way in which he has dealt with in the previous jobs, which are the requirement for the present job and in the future requirement. One can go through that. His behavioral aspect can be looked after from these application forms that he has filled up. And while taking interview, these application forms will help us in what sort of clarifications one can take from these candidates. At the same time, when in the application form you have written for him to write down about the references from the previous employment, one can find out the reference check and background check also. So applicants' evaluation, education and experience will be seen from this application form in a proper chronological order. Applicants' prior progress and growth can be found out from this application form. What are the applicant's employment abilities can be found out by the questions asked in that, the way he has answered those questions, and applicant's likelihood of success in this particular job based on the job requirement. You may have framed certain specific questions for that particular job the candidate has applied for, and this will give us a clear idea about whether it is likely that he will succeed in this job or not. So past experience, how he dealt with certain situations which he is likely to deal with in the present job, one can ask those specific questions and get the idea about that. Selection practices, written test will be of intelligence or cognitive tests, which are valid for skilled, semi-skilled as well as unskilled jobs. In this intelligence and cognitive test, normally people are asked about the arithmetical ability, the logical sequencing, the general knowledge, and specific questions for that particular skill for which he has got some diploma or the degree, and certain questions based on these will help us in finding out. So suppose a person is going to apply for the accountant job, then we can ask him certain questions in this intelligence and cognitive test regarding the arithmetic, regarding some of the accounting figures, etc., and we can find out whether he is able to solve those things easily or not. Then comes personality test, which may help us for predicting the job performance as well as conscientiousness. There are 5 big personalities like extraversion, conscientiousness, agreeableness, etc. And similarly, there are personality tests based on Meyer and Briggs type indicator, where 4 groups of identity can be found out from this in the form of whether a person is extroverted or introvert, whether a person is sensing or judging, whether a person is more logical or is more intuitive and all that. So one can find out from the questionnaire, around 100 questions are there in MBTI, Maya Briggs Type Indicator. And when a person is going to answer, then we can group those questions in a particular way. We can find out whether he is extrovert or introvert, or whether he is more of sensing or intuitive, or the different kinds of behavior we can expect from this kind of questionnaire. And for a particular job, what kind of behavior is expected. For example, for marketing you need an extrovert person, for PRO job you need an extrovert person, while for accounting and for research type of job you need an introvert person. Whether he is likely to take more risk or not, that also can be found out. And hence, one can find out from these personality tests whether the personality job fit is occurring for this particular person or not. And based on that, it can help us in taking the right decision for giving him the employment. Similarly, integrity test, which means that whether he is going to be a dependable person, he is going to be a responsible person, whether he will be honest, and whether he will work ethically while working, which is very, very important in today's world, because many of the times the modern day people are more interested in materialistic things. They are going away from spirituality and they want more and more materialistic things, in which they are also very fast, in which case they are thinking that end is the main thing one has to bother for rather than the means. And hence, by hook or crook, by any means, they want to achieve more and get more and more salary and promotions, and ethics is kept aside. And unless people are integrity of these people, employees, are of the highest degree, it will be difficult for the organization to progress, and it can be a problem for the organization's image in future. And there can be legal suits against the organization if their employees are unethical. Interest inventories in the form of educational, social, recreational and vocational activities will give us an idea about how a person can act in multiple situations and what are the multi-skills he can develop for the future requirement of the organization. So these are the various tests which, in the form of written test, which can tell us whether a person will be suitable for us or not. Of course, only one test should not be taken into consideration. It should be the integration of various tests, the skill test, the interviews, the way he behaves in certain situations, and if required, stress interview, etc. All these things combined, one should take the decision of selection. The various selection practices can be in the form of even performance simulation tests, where work sample tests can be done to understand what the knowledge, skills and abilities of this person. For example, if a person is going to work as a male nurse in an occupational situation, one can find out the knowledge of this person about what are the various hazards that are likely to be there in that particular occupation. What are the preventable aspects he is supposed to take into consideration, or while examining a patient or while taking the history of a patient, what he is supposed to ask. What are the skills required for giving first aid or for certain occupational hazards, to treat them or to prevent them. What are the skills required and what are his abilities required? One can take that into consideration and develop certain work sample tests for this kind of job. Then there are assessment centers where the aptitude of a person and suitability, especially for the managerial roles, is taken into consideration, where multiple observers or experts can be there who can take the group discussion, who can have the role play, or who can have the team building aspects of these managers, and even the management games or the vestibule games, and if required, even the sensitivity of that person in the form of emotional intelligence also can be looked after in these assessment centers. Then there are situational judgment tests where comparison of the answers of high performing employees may be taken into consideration while comparing the answers given by the present candidates in certain situations, how they are going to handle that situation. And if they are optimal and suitable, then only they can be selected. Then comes interviews. There are certain different types of interviews taken. There can be unstructured interviews where it's informally, when an interviewer asks the person to tell everything about himself, right from his education in the 5th standard or in SSC, and what all things he has done regarding his profession after that. Here, no specific questions are asked, and the interview can go as per the answers he is giving, and it is totally informal. While the structured interview may be lengthy, but there are fixed set of questions where you are going to consider, based on the job for which he has applied, certain specific questions which can give a clear idea about whether he will be suitable for the job or not. At the same time, you are going to ask those fixed set of questions to all the candidates, so that there is no bias which is occurring for a particular candidate. Then comes behavioral event interview, which is based on past experience of this candidate. Suppose he is asked as a counselor if he is coming for the interview, and if he is asked what are the mental problems in the previous organization where he has worked, where he has counseled certain employees in that organization, and then how he has tackled them. All these will predict how he is going to perform in future in our organization. Similarly, there can be panel interview where there can be 3 or 5 or 7 interviewers asking questions to the candidate, and hence they are from different field and they are going to ask variety of questions based on their expertise. And because of this, even if one panelist taking interview is biased against this particular candidate because of some stereotyping or halo effect or horn effect by the perception, it can be negated by other panelists, thereby one can remove those individual biases, and they are supposed to come to conclusion and consensus after discussing everything about this candidate in their own way. Background check again is very important, because it is found in many studies that 25% of candidates may lie in their curriculum vitae, either for their educational background or for their experience or for the period during which they were not working. They may connect the two periods when they were working. It is quite commonly found, especially in IT/ITES industries and at higher managerial levels as well. And hence, when you do the background check to find out whether he has got the MBA from a particular university, and you find out from that university that he was not a candidate at all, he has not studied there at all, and some of the candidates have given the name of the company XYZ, which is far from the company where he is applying, and saying that he has got 5 years experience or 3 years experience in that particular company as a manager and senior manager, and doing so many things and achieving so many things, when actually when you do the background check, you may find that instead of a senior manager, he was working as a junior executive there, and he has not got promotion in that post for 5 years or for 3 years that he was working. So one can understand many people are bluffing to impress upon the HR people and the HODs of the department for their capabilities to work in that particular post. And by doing background check, you can find out this, and one may not take such a candidate, or one may remove such a candidate if required. By telephonic verification, one can do that by personally contacting on telephone the HR of that organization or the registrar of the university, one can find out whether he was working there for so many years that he is claiming for, and at what position he was working, and at what intervals he was promoted and all that. At the same time, one can verify it through the registrar of the university whether he got the MBA or the master's or the degree that he is claiming from that university or not. One can even send verification letters to this, so that in writing you have got from their HOD or their HR people from that organization. One can even personally meet the candidate's previous employers. Of course, one has to take the written permission from candidate for checking credentials from the previous employers required, and that can be taken in the application blank that the person is filling up, that he has got no objection if the background check is done by the HR or the department head by the previous employers and from the university registrar or the college registrar, etc., regarding qualification. Well, with this we have learnt about the various aspects of selection and the importance of the various selection tests, as well as the background check, etc., to finally consider the right candidate to be selected, and even he should be of the right culture and values and ethical and conscientious, so that we can have the right kind of talented people for our organization. At the same time, because of their right values and conscientiousness, we can predict that he is going to remain in our organization for a longer time, and he is going to be consistently dependable and a person with great enthusiasm and internal locus of control, whereby he will be motivated to work better, and this will help us in achieving the organizational objectives. So right kind of HR policies and procedures will help us in selecting the right candidate. With that, let's go to the next policies and procedures regarding learning and development as the HR function. What are the various common types of learning programs which are normally used in most of the organization? One is induction. At the time of induction, you try to make the candidate comfortable. You make him understand about the vision and mission of the organization, the values of the founders of this organization, the various products and services provided by the organization, what are the ethical code of conduct, dress code of conduct, and if required, even whether the whistleblower policy, etc., is there or not, what is the quality of policy of the organization, and what is expected out of him, and what is the significance of his work, what he is going to do for the whole organization as a whole, which will make him wanted by the organization, a valuable person or valuable employee for the organization, and he will be more enthusiastic and he will develop better rapport with the people with whom he is going to work by having the right kind of induction program. Then comes technical training. When a fresh graduate comes, naturally he may not be conversant with all the technicalities required to do that job, and hence he may be given a technical training for that particular job under the guidance of a mentor, under the guidance of a senior employee or an expert in that field. In IT industries, many times the people are sent for training for 3 to 6 months before really they start working, which is a requirement in present day scenario, because lot of technological aspects one has to learn if they are going to work for IT and ITES industry, etc. Once the technical training is done, he should be able to work properly, exactly with the machines or with the computer on which he is going to work. The right kind of software programs he should know, and so functional training will be given, and whenever there is a change required in his job performance because of the newer methods that are coming up, he should be given a new training. So functional training is also important, for the employees, and HR should be very proactive in giving these kinds of functional trainings for the people, so that the employees are going to be fear-free that they are becoming obsolete, and it will help them in their career development for the future. Then in today's world, behavioral skills training is also very important. Soft skills in the form of presentation skills, effective communication skills, the business etiquettes, the way you are supposed to approach the other person, especially when you are going to go to the other country, in the form of learning the culture of that country, learning the language of that country, understanding their body language and the behavioral aspect of those countries, people, etc. So soft skills are going to help us to a large extent of right behavior with various strata of the employees and people outside, because it is highly essential for every employee to develop these soft skills. Then only he can have the right kind of emotional intelligence developed, and he can be a very successful person while communicating with the subordinates, with the superior, with the peers, as well as to the people outside. And listening skills will also improve. Training methods can be in the form of informal training, where a person may be informally told about certain things, how things go on in that organization, rather than having a classroom training for that person. Or there can be formal training in the form of on-the-job training, where exactly what he is supposed to do on the job, it is told to him, it is shown to him how to do it, then he is supposed to do it in front of you, and whenever he makes any mistake, he may be made to improve upon what wrong thing he has done, and again he is told under your observation to do the thing, and that's how on-the-job training is done. On-the-job training is a continuous thing, because the multi-skilling is required for future. New technologies are coming, so again he is supposed to relearn certain new things, and that's how on-the-job training is a kind of formal training which goes on, and one should periodically give this. It can also help in the form of job rotation, where a person, if he needs to develop multi-skills, he can be rotated to various departments where different kinds of skills he can develop. There can be understudy, where a person is going to work as an apprentice just after the fresh graduation, or in the last semester of his graduation, or initially when he joins, he can be kept on training under a senior person for 3 months or 6 months, like that. And then there can be a mentor who is a senior employee in a managerial cadre, who is going to work as a buddy to him. He can have lunch with him initially to develop good rapport and develop one-to-one attachment, and then his mentor is going to guide him throughout and support him. So he will be a friend, philosopher and guide to him, not only for the present job but also for understanding the norms and other things about the organization, understanding the ethical aspect of the organization, ethical code, making him ask any questions and clarifying him whenever needed, and also for his career development, the mentor is going to help him. So these are the various things which will be on the job as a formal training. There can be off the job training in the form of lectures in the classroom, which can occur within the organization or outside the organization, where a formal presentation is given by the expert lecturer regarding the type of training required, the lacuna that are observed in him during his performance appraisal feedback, and special training program showing him the knowledge about those lacuna. There can be video training, where a picture gives you much better idea about what exactly it means, and certain hazardous things cannot be shown actually, which can be shown in video, and one can understand how a person is supposed to behave. So, behavioral-based safety will be shown better in a video lecture. Secondly, there can be public seminars where an experts from various fields and knowledgeable people are going to get together, and they can tell about the best practices in their organization, and that's how all the people will learn about these best practices which they can implement in their organization. Similarly, there can be webinars where people need not go physically for those seminars, but through web they can learn, and they can even participate in that by the web conferences. There can be role play where a person is given a story and he is supposed to act in that role. Suppose if you find a boss to be or a supervisor to be very task oriented and very rough with the person, and he is not bothered for the, say, the self dignity of that subordinate, then he can be given the subordinate's role, and the subordinate can be given the superior's role in a role play, whereby they can understand each other's role in a better way. The administrative part will be learned by the subordinate, and the empathetic part, how he is supposed to behave with the subordinate, will be learned by the superior. So role plays also play a great role in training the people as far as the emotional intelligence and logic is concerned. Similarly, there can be simulations, especially in certain hazardous industries where the actual hazards cannot be experimented and shown to the employees. It can be simulated. Say, suppose you want to give the fire fighting training to the employees, then you can simulate that fire in the form of a small fire and tell the employees to use the fire extinguishers. Suppose you want to teach the first aid in the form of cardiopulmonary resuscitation, you cannot show this on a live person.